Hey, everybody, it's Wednesday and time for another Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Well, it's 2 weeks and 2 days until Christmas as I record this podcast. How about those gifts? Are they coming? And have you gotten your free gift from Narration by George yet? You know there are three of them, right? Yeah, I said three. What gifts, you say? Well, let me run them down for you. Everybody, first of all, has access to a great little Christmas story called A Christmas Miracle. Author and actress Donna Patton narrates the story for us. I lend a hand as well. You can listen for free from my website, narrationbygeorge.com/holiday-giveaway. Secondly, everyone has access to a new story every day from Joni Heilman's book, Miracles, 32 True Stories. These are stories which will encourage and uplift you as you watch how God works in the lives of people like you and me. Every day in December, a new story is available for you to listen to or download and enjoy. Just go to my website. It's narrationbygeorge.com/miracles to get to that book. Then click on the book icon and you'll get to the downloads. Don't worry, the previous chapters from previous days are available there as well. And finally, I'm giving a book a day away from my regular collection of books. To get your book, you only have to tell me what you want. Send me a message. Yes, I want a book. I'm at Facebook and Twitter and my email and watching for those messages to come in, and I will allow the winner of the day to select one book from my collection to enjoy for free. So send me a message. Get your name in the hat. On Facebook, I'm Narration by George. Or on Twitter, I am at Narration by Geo. Or you can email me, george@narrationbygeorge.com. While we're talking about my regular books, let's listen to a few samples from two widely divergent styles. So let's start with the sweet romance category. While I've produced several books in this genre, there is a two-book series you might find of interest from author Regina Puckett. She has penned Concealed in My Heart and Songs That I Whisper. These are books from the Warren Family series. In the first book, Concealed in My Heart, we meet Charity Fields. Charity is plucked from her college stage production to star in a major motion picture opposite a heartthrob star, David Warren. David and his wife become close friends to Charity, and she ultimately becomes the caretaker for their daughter, Suzette. In the follow-up book, Songs That I Whisper, we meet the adult Suzette and an up-and-coming country star, Seth Black. Two people couldn't be more opposite or more attracted to each other. How will this work out? So let's listen to a couple of excerpts from these books. We'll start with an excerpt from Concealed in My Heart and then move to some pieces from Songs That I Whisper. Christmas excitement is a part of Concealed in My Heart by award-winning author Regina Puckett. It's available as an audiobook from Audible.com. George Taylor narrates this sweet romance. Needing to walk off some of the day's food binge, Charity decided to go for a walk through the neighborhood to look at everyone's Christmas decorations. The last time she made this trip, David had been with her, and he had told her of his fears about Maria's carrying the baby. It was a sad truth that he had been right to be afraid then. It had been a chilly day, and when the sun set, the temperatures took a deeper plunge. Charity grabbed one of her father's old brown work coats out of the front hall closet and slipped it on. She found a pair of old brown work gloves in his pockets. She was almost certain she would never make the cover of Vogue with her man-around-town look, but the ugly, tattered brown coat kept the sharp wind out, and the old, ragged work gloves kept her fingers from getting frostbite. There was something very refreshing about not worrying if a tabloid cameraman was waiting around every corner to snap her picture. And what if they did? She was beyond caring what the world thought of her. She had already been judged and found lacking a few times, and she had survived with only a few scars and a lot more backbone after all was said and done. The first thing she did was admire the front of her parents' house before setting off down the main street, admiring everyone else's decorations. She was surprised to see the judge's house decorated and lit. She couldn't believe the new owners had already moved in and decorated their new house. Every room in the house seemed to have a light on. Charity paused. There was something familiar about some of the decorations in the front window and the wreath on the front door. When Charity couldn't decide where she had seen them before, she continued her sightseeing until she reached the center of the town square. There she found the bench she and David had sat on two Christmases before, talking about Maria and the expected baby. The stores were brightly decorated and had matching red lights on all of the window fronts. There weren't many cars with all of the stores now closed for the holidays. The city felt like it was deserted. Most people were probably off somewhere celebrating Christmas with their families. The scene was peaceful and serene. When Charity heard footsteps coming down the sidewalk behind her, she didn't bother turning. It was probably someone out looking at the Christmas decorations and lights like she was. It wasn't until the sound of the footsteps stopped right behind her that she wondered if it was a mugger. When the man spoke, she almost wished it was. Just who has snuck up on Charity? Concealed in my heart from Audible.com, Amazon.com, and in the iTunes Store. I'm Seth Black. Calm down now. I'm not a country star yet. Just want to play my music. Music about me and my father. My famous father, that's all. Then my agent sent me to get a portrait painted from a new album. Changed everything. I met the most amazing woman, Suzette, daughter of a movie star, famous artist, gorgeous. Oh, where was I? Yeah, I met Suzette, wasn't expecting her, and didn't see the possibility of love either, but I was bit, yep, I was bit. It's not easy, I mean, I have a past, a bad one, and I don't want to get her wrapped up in it. So I got a few things to work out. Then, well, we'll see.
Okay, let's talk.
That song was about your dad, wasn't it? He moved among the pillows, obviously trying to find a comfortable spot where she couldn't look at him. It was in vain, so he avoided her eyes.
Yeah.
She expected more of an answer, but didn't show her disappointment, just plowed right on. You write all your songs about your father.
Yeah.
He really hurt you, didn't he? Seth didn't appear to have an answer. He kind of left you in a bad place.
Well, no, I'm not bad off financially.
You know very well that I'm not talking about money. He really hurt you. Seth started to squirm then. Why is all this important to you? I mean, my father and all, that's history. I barely remember him. Suzette studied him with unbelieving eyes. If it's history, then why do you write all of your songs about him?
A songwriter has to have something to write about. You make it a sad song and get all the women all teary-eyed over it, and you got yourself a number one record.
She almost told him to get out, but knew it was all bull. He shared his pain through his music, but he couldn't admit that his father had hurt him deeply. It was all such crap. And it made her angry. Seth scratched his chin and thought before he spoke again.
Okay, I'll cut the crap.
Yeah, my father did a real number on me. Okay, is that what you wanted to hear? She placed her hand on his. I didn't bring it up to hurt you. But you keep playing the hurt over and over again in your music. It seems to me that you need to talk to someone about your father and what he did to you.
What do you want to hear about him?
Only what you want to say?
That's quite simple. The man was a bastard. He didn't give a damn about anyone but himself. He appeared to be surprised by his own admission. Suzette tightened her grip on his hand. I really don't know where to start.
You said in your last song that you were your father's son. Is that what you really believe?
That must have touched a raw nerve, because Seth sat up and slid away from Suzette to sit at the foot of the bed again. You would probably be surprised to find out that I don't know what I believe. He made eye contact again. I just don't know.
She slid down the bed to be near him. Well, I do. You're nothing like your father. You're a kind and gentle man.
He looked away and shook his head. How can you say that? You've not known me that long.
Suzette wouldn't have it. Because it's in your music. No man questions his own worth if he hasn't spent a lot of time considering it. You know the answer, but you just refuse to believe it.
How about you? She looked puzzled. I saw your face that day in the studio.
She pretended not to understand him.
I saw your face when Walker talked about your real mother. If we're going to talk about my father, then we're going to talk about why the subject of your real mother causes you so much pain.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He picked his guitar up and smiled. Well, at least I'm not the only liar in this room.
The place fell silent, but for Seth's strumming. I sometimes forget that Charity isn't my real mother.
Ah, he didn't even look up at her.
She knew he was waiting. Don't you see? I sometimes forget that Maria is my mother.
Seth stopped playing and looked at her.
His face held more understanding than she was willing to bear.
She slid off the bed and paced about the confined space. How can I do that? My mother loved me, and I sometimes forget that she existed. What kind of a person does that make me? She gave up her life so I could be born, and I forget that she even existed.
So you don't want to be your mother? Is that it? A forgotten person?
His words were so simple, but they were exactly how she felt. Something inside of her slipped and cracked, but she wasn't even aware of crying until he wiped her cheek with the tip of his finger. It was so sweet and touched her so deeply that more tears flowed. He wrapped both arms around her and pulled her firmly against his chest. The words he murmured through her hair escaped her, although they were a comfort nonetheless. Suzette realized that her tears were for herself as much as her mother. She had tried to comfort Seth, and instead he had wound up comforting her. They stood for a while in each other's arms, weeping and soothing, before the engines shuddered to life and the bus eased forward, taking up their journey once more.
Check out the story of Seth and Suzette in Songs That I Whisper by Regina Puckett. It's now available in audiobook at audible.com, amazon.com, and in the iTunes store.
Now, how about a totally different genre? Let's say westerns. Now, I've produced four different books which fall in this category. Two are by author Murray Pura. The first that I want to talk about is from his Wells Fargo series. I produced a novel called The Desperate Road. The ride to St. Louis wasn't quite what was expected, was it, Angus?
It was supposed to be just a stagecoach ride to St. Louis. You have your usual dangers, of course, including bandits. But it's supposed to be just an ordinary ride to St. Louis to report to President Grant. It's me, I'm Amos, my partner Remington, two ladies, and a preacher. Well, it weren't no ordinary ride. Yeah, we had bandits, the world-famous Pittman Gang. Well, they may not be world-famous, but they are famous. That meant that we had to have a shootout, and we met Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll have to read the book to find out about them. We got through the shootout just fine. That gang won't be bothering anybody anymore. But my partner, remember him? He falls head over heels for this gal on the stage. Yeah, she's a knockout. Gorgeous. And she's a singer. and a gunslinger, too? Something's not right about that combination. And we still have to see the president. Well, you can hear all about it in Murray Pura's new series, the Wells Fargo Express series, Remington Colt. We're in Volume 1, The Desperate Rogue. It's now on audiobook at audible.com. It's read by George Taylor, that dude from Narration by George. Check it out on his website, narrationbygeorge.com.
The second book, Faith and the Law, Ambush, is by Jim Griffin and also comes from Helping Hands Press. Helping Hands Press is proud to present an audiobook version of Faith and the Law by best-selling author James J. Griffin and narrated for you by George Taylor of narrationbygeorge.com. Faith and the Law is set in old Texas, with twin brothers. One's a lawman, a Texas Ranger, the other a Catholic priest. When the lawman brother is severely wounded by one of the men he is after, his priest brother takes on his identity to bring the outlaw to justice. And so begins Faith in the Law, Volume 1, The Ambush. Let's listen to an excerpt. Texas Ranger Casimir Jankowski knew the setup of the facilities as well as he knew the house where he and Tad had grown up. He put his bay and white pinto gelding Warsaw into an empty stall in the stable behind the rectory, headed inside to clean up at the kitchen sink, then joined his brother in the dining room. Tad was already seated at the table with his two assistants, Fathers Noble Bach and Robert Piontek. Anna Bilyankowski, the widowed housekeeper, was just beginning to serve them. They started to stand up when Chaz entered. "Howdy, y'all. Don't bother getting up," he ordered. "Let's just eat. I've had a long, hard ride, and I'm starved."
"Hello yourself, Chaz," Father Bach said. "You're looking well. It's good to see you back home."
"Yes, it is," Father Piontek agreed. "We've missed you, Chaz. Will you be staying long?"
"I'm afraid not," Chaz answered. "The Rangers keep me on the move."
"That's a real shame," Mrs. Bilyanowski said. "Katie Markowitz is still single, you know. She never had eyes for any other man but you, Casimir Jankowski. It's time you settled down with a good woman like Katie and started raising a family."
"Maybe someday, but not quite yet," Chaz replied. "Not until Texas is rid of the outlaws riding roughshod over her and making life miserable for decent citizens. Perhaps once Texas is safe for honest, hard-working folks, I'll be able to settle down. But until that happens, I'll keep writing for the Rangers."
"You'll probably get yourself killed first," Mrs. Bilyankowski said with a sigh.
"You could be right, but I sure hope not," Chaz answered.
"Enough of this conversation," Father Jankowski ordered. "My prodigal brother is home, and no matter how short his visit, it's cause for celebration, and we've been fasting all night so we can say the Masses and receive Holy Eucharist, so we're just as hungry as you are, Chaz. We could talk later. Therefore, let's say grace and eat. You too, Anna, join us."
"All right, Father."
Chaz and Anna took their seats, then all bowed their heads. "Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty, through Christ our Lord. Amen," they prayed. Breakfast was ham, bacon, eggs, crusty rye bread with butter, and hot coffee. It was eaten mostly in silence. Once they were done and the concluding grace was said, Chaz and Tad went into the rectory's parlor.
"So, Chaz, tell me what's on your mind," Tad ordered.
"It's that obvious, huh?"
"It certainly is.
Something's bothering you. I'm glad to see you home, but you rarely return without a reason."
"You're right, of course. You always did see clear through me, Tad, and you through me. I guess that comes with being twins. So spill it already, then we can catch up on the past few months."
"Okay. You know there's been a whole lot of outlawry going on west of here. I don't mean the usual rustling, horse-thieving, and bank and stagecoach robberies. Tad, there's wholesale murder happening, land stolen, trains wrecked. Even women and children aren't safe."
"Sounds like a job for the Rangers, all right."
"Tad, I'm serious. I've been trying to figure out who's behind all this for months, and I finally have. I just need to get the proof. I'll have that shortly.
And as soon as I do, I'll put an end to this trouble once and for all. If anyone can, it's you, Chaz. But are you certain you can handle this single-handed?
I have to. Don't have a choice. I can't trust anyone, not even my fellow Rangers. Once this breaks loose, it'll have repercussions all the way to the state capital.
I see. And I understand. Care to tell me who you're after? I can keep a secret, you know. Goes with being a priest, just like the seal of the confessional. If you reveal his name, my lips are locked. Chaz shook his head.
Much as I'd like to confide in someone, it wouldn't be safe for you to know. If anyone's going to get his dupa shut off, it'll be me, not you. Don't worry. I know what I'm doing.
You know that. I'll be fine.
I'll pray that you will be.
How soon do you have to leave?
I'll be riding out first thing in the morning.
Good. That means we can have at least one night to visit.
The two brothers, one a clergyman, the other a lawman, spent the rest of the day and far into the night talking over what each had been doing during Chaz's absence and reminiscing about old times. It was well after midnight before they went to bed. Despite the late night, however, Chaz was in the saddle the next morning even before the sun had cleared the eastern horizon. His brother watched him leave with a prayer on his lips.
"Watch over my brother, Lord, and keep him from harm," Tad said. "I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and Mary, his blessed mother. Amen."
Be sure to find Faith in the Law by James J. Griffin at myhelpinghandspress.com or look it up on narrationbygeorge.com/books.
So, there are four books for you to consider. You can find them all on my website, narrationbygeorge.com/books. Right now, you can even get one of those books free. Just to send me a message on Facebook, Twitter, or email saying, "Yes, I want a book." If you win, I'll send you instructions for your particular book choice. But act now. Send me the message. On Facebook, I'm Narration by George. On Twitter, I'm at Narration by Geo. Or email through my website, narrationbygeorge.com. Click on the Contact Us icon. Last week, we closed by looking at a traditional Christmas carol, talked a little bit about it. So let's do this again this week. Think of this simply beautiful image. The shepherds in a great field, staring up in wonder at a sky full of heavenly hosts. Those are angels. Singing out their praise and joy, the echoes of their song reverberating off the mountains to add to the cacophony. It isn't hard to imagine the shepherd's response. This group of young boys must have looked at each other wide-eyed, and then whooped and cheered and run as fast as they could into the village, a stampede of sheep following them. Giddy with excitement and out of breath, they come to the stable. Did they burst in and crowd around the manger? Or did they stop at the stable door, suddenly shy and overwhelmed, and peek in at the couple holding that tiny baby? Did they fully understand what they were witnessing? Do we even fully understand what they were witnessing? This French carol, "Angels We Have Heard on High," invites us to come to Bethlehem and see. And today we go to Bethlehem and we peek through the stable doors and we kneel in amazement before the Christ child, our ears still ringing from the angel's song. More so than the shepherds, we're able to see who this child is because we know the gospel story. We know that the angels would come again, this time to announce that Christ was not where the women looked for him, but that he had risen. It isn't hard to imagine that a Gloria would have been on those angel lips as well.
Angels, we have
That's our time for this week. Join me again next Wednesday when the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest, will again be new. See you then.